From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Illinois Senator Roland Burris may not have told the whole truth and nothing but the truth about his relationship with ousted Governor Rod Blagojevich, and now he is under investigation. And President Obama signs his $787 billion recovery package. Now he sets his sights on fixing the housing crisis with a plan to forestall home foreclosures. He's also ordering a 50% boost in troop levels in Afghanistan. Here to discuss these political developments, we have Democratic strategist Donna Brazile. She is an author and a nationally syndicated columnist. And Robert George, associate editorial page editor for the New York Post. Robert, Donna, nice to have you back.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be here. Hey, Donna.
Thank you, Tony. Hello, Robert.
So the junior senator from Illinois, Roland Burris, is back in the headlines. Did he raise money or not for Governor Blagojevich in exchange for becoming the next senator from the land of Lincoln? And did he lie about it under oath? That is the question, but getting the answer, Donna Brazile, seems especially tricky. Why do the Democrats keep doing this? I mean, not vetting people fully. Burris's story seems to change every day.
I'm embarrassed by this situation. Roland Burris is a man of integrity. I've known Senator Burris for many, many years, and this conflicting daily change of stories clearly has put Mr. Burris in some hot water with his colleagues. As you know, the Senate Ethics Committee has opened up a preliminary inquiry into the matter. There's, of course, folks in Illinois, including his hometown paper, the Chicago Tribune. They've called for the senator to resign. The Washington Post, of course, called for him to resign. I think that Senator Burris needs to sit in a room with his attorney or attorneys and come up with a credible story and an explanation and go before the Ethics Committee and explain his contact with former Governor Blagojevich, his brother, whether or not he had, decided to be a part of some scheme to raise money for the governor. I think he owes the people of Illinois a full explanation, an honest account of what happened. Remember, there are tapes.
That's true.
He may be on tape.
Yeah, he may be on tape. Well, you know, you mentioned that the GOP is calling for him to resign. Even Democratic Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Robert, is lukewarm. Here's my question for you, though. What is the strategy that the Republicans should take on this? Keep hammering to get him out or let this fester as a sore on the Democrats?
I think if I was giving any advice to Republicans, which I'm certainly not, I would just let this play out right now. You've had a couple of the hometown Republicans say that he should resign, so they've put their marker down on it. As for Republicans in the Senate, just let it play out, because keep in mind, Reid and the Democratic leadership didn't want Burris in originally because they figured anybody that Blagojevich was putting in was going to be tainted. Then they basically got pushed into it when it looked like they were being like the white guys keeping the black guy out of the club, and so they approved him. And now this, of course, is completely blowing up in their face. So as far as Republicans go, it ends up being a win if he ends up resigning, because it's going to be an embarrassment to the Senate. Unfortunately, it's going to also be an embarrassment to President Obama, who obviously has had his own issues with people withdrawing over ethical and tax issues within his own candidate.
Within his own cabinet.
So even though he had nothing to do with this, it's going to look like part of the same. And so I think the Republicans can just basically let this play out and say, the Democrats and the president have problems vetting people for significant places, and the Republicans back in Illinois, I think at this point, are going to have a head start on the 2010 election.
Well, you make some really interesting points. One more thing I want to talk about with regard to this story before we move on to the next topic, Donna, is this, that you are a Democratic strategist. The votes in the Senate are very key, as we've already found out with the stimulus package voting between the Republicans and the Democrats. What would you advise President Obama to do about this guy from his home state?
Well, this matter is now before the United States Senate. As you all know, the legislative and executive branches of government are co-equal branches, and I think that if the Senate has opened up a preliminary inquiry, they should complete their task. Mr. Burris should comply with whatever information that they deem necessary to decide whether or not he should remain in the United States Senate. You know, they could censor him, they can remove him, but I think at this point, before we rush to judgment, we should give Senator Burris an opportunity to give the United States Senate Ethics Committee a full explanation. And I don't believe President Obama should in any way involve himself now that this matter has gone before the Ethics Committee.
I will say this, though,
Donna. Make it brief, because we've got to move on.
The fact that your advice to him was, you know, he needs to sit down with his lawyers in a room and figure out what his story is. I think once if you're a senator and you're discussing with your lawyers about what you need to say, I think you've already lost the plot.
Well, you may be right about that. Let's move on to another topic, because with the ink on the stimulus package still drying, the president has unveiled another plan, this time to tackle the foreclosure crisis. Now, from my initial reading, some of its provisions and from what some Republicans, Robert, have been saying about the importance of saving the housing industry, Lindsey Graham comes to mind as just one, this could be a strategy that garners more bipartisan support, couldn't it?
I think you're right. I think we've had just one bailout too many. But right now, since we're pouring all this money in, I guess everybody has to get their own little bit. But you're right. I mean, I think it was Senator Kyle from Arizona who's a very conservative senator. But he basically talked about the need for assistance on the mortgage side, because Arizona, along with California, Florida, they're some of the states that have been really hit the hardest. I do believe that even though many Republicans are very wary about all this money going out, all this bailout, because of the foreclosures, the situations, and because it's hitting senior citizens as well as regular middle class voters, that you are gonna get not a whole lot, but a considerable number.
More than three.
More than three Republicans will be working with the president on this.
Yes. Now, Donna, the president also seems to be taking a slightly more direct strategic approach to selling this particular plan. He's going directly to the people, isn't he?
I think he should. If Congress is not prepared to help honest, hardworking, taxpaying Americans who many of them qualify for conventional loans, but they were so subprime, predatory loans. More than 2.3 million homeowners coast to coast are faced with foreclosure. That's an 81% increase. And I think we need to figure out a way to lower the monthly payments so that these borrowers can stay in their homes, maintain their payments. And the president is doing the right thing and taking his case to the American people. And this shouldn't be a partisan issue. This should be an issue where both sides can get in the room and figure out the best way to help these homeowners.
Now, here's my final point with you guys. Let's talk about the foreign policy for just a moment. This is the last topic of today's reporter's political roundtable. The president's foreign policy agenda coming a little more clearly into view with his making good on his campaign promise to focus the country's military effort now on Afghanistan. He's ordered 17,000 additional troops there. Campaign promises are one thing, but the reality on the ground between Pakistan and Afghanistan is another. How risky is this first big military move, both for the country and for Obama, Robert?
I think it's pretty risky. As history has told us, Afghanistan and Iraq are two very, very different countries. A number of empires have ended up dying or coming to an end in Afghanistan because of the geography and the terrain and so forth. And I would think, obviously I'm not on the left, but it seems to me some of Obama's supporters on the left are going to have to be a little bit uncomfortable about the fact that he hasn't really come forward with any plan to announce his withdrawal from Iraq yet, and already he's sending 17,000 more troops into Afghanistan, which if you add up to the 150,000 that are still in Iraq, Obama is basically going to be overseeing more American troops in combat theaters than George W. Bush did. So it's been a little bit ironic there.
Let me give you the last word on this. I've got about 40 seconds for your answer, Donna. What do you think? Risky or not?
The increase, as President Obama said, is necessary to stabilize a deteriorating situation in Afghanistan. The president believes that this has not received the strategic attention. He said that we cannot solve this problem with the military alone. The Taliban has reorganized itself. He talked about diplomacy, development, and he said that he takes full responsibility. He's mindful of the situation in Afghanistan and Pakistan, but he believes that this demands urgent attention and swift action.
I would think this is also going to force his hand sooner rather than later in terms of just what he is going to do about the troop pull down out of Iraq, as Robert mentioned. That is a topic that we will have to address when we get together for the next time we have you both on, which I appreciate.
Thank you.
Donna, that was Donna Brazile. Thank she you, is Donna. A Democratic strategist joining us by telephone this time. And Robert George, associate editorial page editor for The New York Post, he joined us from the studios of NPR in New York.